popped up a beer or a cold libation. Let me tell you how I wrote this little theme. I went and took a call from Brother Jason, and he tells me that he has a little dream. He says he needs a backwards intro to begin his podcast, and I ask him, what you got? He said, I'll start off with some talking and some movie clips of popcorn fighting, fantasy explorations, and some groundless exploitation. Kickstarts that I'm watching and some blind unboxing, school month or a movie marathon. Sometimes I let the dogs come on, contests and of course you know it's all about games. That's a slogan, let's just start with the name. It's the Nerds RPG Variety Podcast. With the other Jason.
Welcome back to Nerds RPG Variety Cast. I'm your host, Jason. We've lost another luminary in the hobby. By the time this episode comes out, I'm sure you've heard the news that James Michael Ward III, Jim Ward, born 23 May 1951, fell asleep in the Lord 18 March 2024. Jim Ward, of course, had a family. And, you know, he married his high school sweetheart, had three sons, six grandchildren, you know, and all that is, you know, much more important than the gaming stuff. But as far as games go, you know, Jim Ward was one of the big ones. Deities and Demigods, Metamorphosis Alpha, Gamma World, Jim stayed active in the community and active, you know, with the fans. Throughout the years, you know, the Grog Talk, we talked about the Grog Talk Empire. There's an interview with him there. It's one of those things that you really need to get out to these conventions if you can to meet these guys because, you know, Jim was 72 years old. And, you know, it's the same thing with your family. Get out and see your, spend time with your parents and your grandparents and your uncles and your aunts and, you never know how long somebody's going to be around, so we need to spend time with when we can. You know, a great opportunity to do that, something like DaveCon, right? DaveCon, which is a convention in Bloomington, Minnesota, that goes from April 26th to 28th. There's going to be a ton of amazing guests there. Dave Weasley, who, Bronstein, I mean, he, you know, proto D&D, the whole Bronstein thing, you can play Bronstein game with Dave. Dave McGarry, the guy that invented the Dungeon board game, original Blackmore player, was going to be there. Mike Carr, Ross Maker, you know, behind, like, Source of the Nile. Just these amazing luminaries are going to be there. And DaveCon's a smaller convention, so you can go and sit down and play games with them and talk to them and do all that. And so DaveCon's a great opportunity to do that kind of thing. It's coming up, so check that out. But yeah, Jim Ward, it's one that hits hard, and it just reminds us of our mortality, right? There's a link in the show notes to Jim's obituary at the funeral home, and you can go there. You can, his visitation is going to be on the 25th of March, so you still have an opportunity to send flowers if you want to. There are links in there to do that, post on the tribute wall, whatnot, so that's in the show notes, so check that out. And, you know, Dave Kahn, there's a link to that in the show notes as well. But, yeah, I just wanted to spend a minute. I know everybody's heard about Jim Ward's passing, but, you know, I wanted to acknowledge it on the show and give my respects on the show. Okay, now for the rest of the show is mainly going to be a call-in show, and it's actually calls I'm not going to say a whole lot about because these are responses to the carrot and stick episode, the idea of should we give in-game rewards for out-of-game activities. If a player is making everybody else laugh, should they get rewarded in-game for that? That kind of question. Now, some of these callers have things in the calls that aren't related to that question, and I do respond to that. So I do respond to these calls throughout this episode, but I don't really answer the carrot and the stick part. Because we're going to have a follow-on podcast. We're going to do a panel discussion. We're going to, as Carl puts it later in the episode, we're going to take Cerebivore out of the freezer, and we're going to spin up a panel discussion to discuss this idea. So enjoy these calls. If you have thoughts, feel free to call them in as well. I don't have a date for the panel discussion yet, but I don't like sitting on calls for too long. So I wanted to go ahead and get these published and get these ideas out there and have them percolating in the back of people's heads. But there'll be a panel discussion probably sometime in April on this topic. And without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and open up the mailbag.
Who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? Who's on the phone? Well, maybe it's your auntie or a joke by your spouse, but the operator's screaming is coming from inside the house.
Yo, Jason, so getting into your episode, the one about carrot and stick, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. So I think that there's a difference between giving experience points for somebody telling jokes at the table as opposed to their character doing something awesome. I think those are two very different situations. I don't see anything wrong with if your character does something super heroic in the game, you're like, yeah, dude, encourage that shit. I don't think you're trying to trick anybody. You're like, that was awesome, dude. Like, right on. Here's some XP. I don't see anything wrong with that. As far as like, if someone brings snacks to the game, no, I don't. You know, as the dungeon master, who when I had a home group would cook for them every week, what did I get for that? You know, so no, I don't think if a player brings snacks to the games, they should get rewards. I think out of game stuff, despite what Gary Gygax says, should stay out of game. Just like you shouldn't punish players in game for out of game activities, you shouldn't reward in game for out of game activities. I think those two things are separate. That said, like I mentioned earlier, I don't see anything wrong with giving experience points or whatever, you know, we don't need to get stuck on XP, whatever method you're using for doing awesome stuff. Now, a trickier question is, what do you do when a player misses a bunch of sessions in a row? Do you not, say you're using milestone XP, Do you not level them up? Do you put their character to the side? That, for me, that's the trickier part. Yeah, it's not about rewarding it. Because if, I don't know, that again, that's the tricky part. What do you do with a character who the player doesn't show up forever? You know, for like 3 weeks in a row. And I'm not... I'm not talking specifics here. I'm talking in general. So yeah, I don't know, man. That's where I find the question. I'm kind of sick, so I think I'm probably just rambling, so I'm going to shut up now. Bye, peace out.
Hey, Joe, thank you so much for that feedback. And I am going to break in to answer that last question, what to do when the player doesn't show up for a game. Because I think that's something we've all faced with online and even in-person games, and it can be challenging, and I've seen it done a couple different ways. And really, it's going to depend to some degree on your group, and it's going to depend on the comfort level of people playing other characters. And that can be easier or harder depending on the system. If you're playing, say, BX or a really simple game, then having somebody else run someone's character, a second or third character, isn't that big of a deal, right? So let's say we have our group and we have five players in the group and one player doesn't show up, and asking Joe to run my character during the game, not Joe the game master, but Joe another player, run my character during the game in a pretty simple game, like say BX, isn't that big of a deal. But if we go to a game where there's lots of bits and bobs and lots of different options and, you know, 3-page character sheet and all this, now it's a pretty big load to add that character onto somebody else to make them play it during the game. And regardless of how complex the game is, making the game master run that character is just not fair because the Game Master is already running a ton of other stuff. And all of that doesn't even bring in the question, do you trust other people to run your character when you're not there? And that's a session zero question. What I've seen in the past, a couple different ways. One that I kind of like is that, and this would depend on, you have to be playing with these less complex systems, but somebody else plays the character when they're not there, and that character gets half experience points for that session. Now, obviously, that's a game that has experience points and isn't just milestone leveling, but I like that. So that way, if you're showing up, you're getting full experience points. If you can't show up, something happens. Your character's not totally in the cold. They're getting something, but it's not really fair to give full experience points in an experience point kind of game, right? But they're still getting something. You're still throwing them something. So I personally like that in systems that support that kind of play. But in a more complex system where running that character is a full-time job, you know, asking somebody to run two characters is kind of crazy. At that point, you can just fade them to the back where they effectively aren't there, or you can just make them poof, disappear, and they're not there, right? That's another option with that character. And that depends on the group, whether they, how well they adjust to the idea that, you know, JoJo was with us last session, but now JoJo's gone. He must have gone around the corner in the dungeon to take a leak, and then JoJo reappears the following session, right? So that's a question. With milestone XP, honestly, if they're a continuing player in the game, just because they miss a few sessions, I would still level them up when I leveled everybody else up with a milestone, because you're talking about a game that's expecting people to be the same power level. So at that point, with milestone XP, if they're part of the game, I would just level the whole party up together, even if somebody missed a few sessions. But with an XP-based game, especially an XP-based game like the older TSR games where the experience point charts are different for the different classes, then I would go with something like half experience for the sessions that they missed. But that's just me. I'm curious how other people handle experience for players that don't show up for a session. Do you have somebody else play their character? Does their character disappear? And regardless of whether the character's active in the session, how do you handle the experience point for that? That's a great question, Joe. And I appreciate you asking it. As far as in-game rewards for out-of-game activities or vice versa, that'll all get picked up on the follow-on podcast. Okay, let's go to the next call.
Hey, Jason. It's Anthony calling in from the road. Just listened to your Carrot and Stick episode. Sorry to hear that you've been unwell. I hope you're feeling much better now. Just had two things to say. One, I'm really excited to hear your breakdown of the Long Riders. Absolutely one of my favorite westerns, and such a clever thing to do for a film, and not just a film like that. So really looking forward to see what you have to say about the Long Riders. The second thing was about in-game rewards for out-of-game behaviors. I think this is a really interesting question. I can't think of that many games where the intention to trick the players into those behaviors seems to be the motivation. But I can see that a lot more for in-game rewards for in-game behaviors, certainly in the realm of making it a bribe anyway. But in terms of in-game rewards for out-of-game behaviors, pretty much the first thing that comes to my mind when I see those is that it's a way to thank people for what they're doing, like hosting, for example. I think, and not just at a young age where we haven't really ingrained certain polite behaviors yet, but I think it can be possible to start taking certain gifts or sacrifices for granted. Such as making your house available every Thursday night for a game or whatever. And by having that kind of baked into the experience point process, it reminds people to say, thanks for doing that and offering to do other things. But like you, I'm more comfortable with in-game rewards for in-game behaviors, because that's how we learn how the game works. I think the experience point system of a game has a lot to say about how it all holds together as a game, and gives us great insight into playing it. But out-of-game rewards, or in-game rewards for out-of-game behaviors, I'm much happier giving out-of-game rewards for out-of-game behaviors, like bringing beverages, bringing snacks if someone else is going to be the host, cleaning up afterwards, and saying thank you, stuff like that. Anyway, looking forward to see what other people have to say, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey Jason, Riley here. Firstly, count me in for some wargaming or the play-by-post thing. Sounds like a blast, and it'll be fun to see it from the player side. Onto the reward system, though. Yeah, reward systems are interesting. I got a bit of a chuckle out of the comment on it being, you know, social engineering, rewarding your friends for good behavior. But in a way, gold for XP is similar. Couldn't we just have a conversation about the type of game we're going to play and then not need an XP system which encourages it at all? I agree with EATB that we don't need one for heroic play, and that could extend to exploring the world or any other activity which is at the core of the fun of the game. I think this has sort of changed my mind on XP systems a little bit. I think I would have said that we want XP system to encourage a style of play. Now I think it might be better to say we want an XP system which matches the style of play we're doing anyway, and that gets out of the way a little bit. Because of course we do need one in D&D. Not to say a game without levels is bad, I'm just using the narrower definition of D&D. And if the game is about heroic deeds, exploration, and accumulating wealth and power, then gold for XP seems like it matches the game and sort of something that we'd be doing anyway, so it's a nice, easy thing to track. Yeah, interested to hear what other callers have to say. You know, I wouldn't have an issue with the game rewarding XP for attendance, bringing snacks, taking notes, or making jokes. Although that might be socially engineering people the wrong way. Like, I don't want to listen to some bloke make bad jokes trying to fish for XP. Though, you know, I don't think anyone that I play with would be doing that. But yeah, I wouldn't want to do it myself if I was running the game. You know, if I don't want to take notes, I'm not going to do it just for a little bit of XP. And, you know, I'm definitely not making jokes for XP. You know, I bring snacks and have a good time because I'm hanging out with my friends. You know, getting XP wouldn't ruin that, though. Yeah, hope you're feeling better soon, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, I'm going to break in again. Anthony and Riley, thank you so much for the well wishes. I am feeling much better now. Really do appreciate that. And I want to just... Riley touched on the Prohibition-era gangster game I mentioned. I do have enough players to go forward with that, so I am going to be doing that. If this episode's coming out the 21st of March. So if you do not have a... I think everybody that's reached out to me is on Discord. So if you don't have a private message in Discord from me about that game, you know, let it, basically acknowledging that I know you're interested in the game, then reach out to me again and let me know you're interested in the game. Once we solidify who the players are, then we'll get in the nuts and bolts of how it's going to run. So I just wanted to throw that out there. As far as the other thoughts, again, and like Anthony's call, we're going to talk about all this stuff on a follow-on discussion. Although, Anthony, the Long Riders episode is out, so I am curious what you thought of Eric and I's discussion on that movie. Okay, let's go to the next call. This next caller is Sonny, who is part of the Grog Talk Empire. Go ahead, take it away, Sonny.
Hey, good morning, Jason. It's Sonny. I hope you're feeling better when you get this voicemail. I just wanted to give you some thoughts about the XT awards that you had spoken about recently. I do give individual awards, right? But I agree with you that some of the reasons that people tend to, I see online at least, I should say, give awards nowadays, I'm not really into that. I feel like, especially like your example with jokes and you know, and then another example I'll give that comes up in a podcast I won't mention, comes up pretty often, is like acting and improvising, but specifically using the word improvising in the actor theater sense, so to speak. I'm not really into that because I feel that it has nothing to do with the actual actions of the character, so to speak. But then again, where I do like to give individual awards would be if a character accomplishes something, you know, that for that character, for the situation is very relevant or extra heroic, which I believe you had used that example also. And some people would say, well, they're supposed to be heroes. They're supposed to do heroic things. And while that's true, I mean, in the real life, we give out awards, right, for people who do extra heroic things, even though everybody who serves overseas or however you want to describe it is a hero in their own right. So, yeah, that's my thoughts. And maybe if you continue talking about it, I'll call back and give more. All right. Hope you're feeling better. Take care. Bye.
Sonny, thank you. I am feeling better. I appreciate that. And again, on your comments, we'll touch on them on the follow-up episode. Folks, Sonny's part of the Grog Talk Empire. Grog Talk, of course, is the premier AD&D First Edition fan society based out of Florida. They do GrogCon every year, which is AD&D First Edition based convention, although they also run other games there. And they put out Flipping and Turning, which is the premier AD&D First Edition fanzine currently published and is Delph approved. So there's a link to all the Grog Talk stuff in the show notes. When you go to that page, you should be able to link to the YouTube videos and the podcasts where all this began. Check that out if you're into AD&D First Edition. Great group of guys and some great conventions, including DaveCon, which I had mentioned at the beginning of the show. DaveCon is strongly affiliated with the Grog Talk Empire. Okay, let's go on to our next caller.
Hey, Jason. I figure I haven't posted anything in a long time, and if I don't do it now, even though I'm in the car, I probably won't get to it. But first off, we have out-of-game behavior being rewarded in-game. I don't like that necessarily. Like, if you flip that, I think a lot of us nowadays think out-of-character bad behavior shouldn't be punished in-game. You know, like you have a weird person acting out of the game and you decide to kill their character in game as somehow supposed to teach them a lesson. That's very passive aggressive. And I don't know if people, how often people actually learned from that. I know it's different when you're flipping it to now rewarding out of character behavior, but I still feel like it's a little passive, not aggressive, but passive encouraging. I don't know. Like, out of game behaviors should be addressed out of game, most likely. Keep the in game stuff to the in game stuff. You know, if you do something terrible in game, there should be the world of the game should have consequences. And same with good behavior in the game. But out of the game, I don't know. I don't know if that that helps enough or if that, you know, if that works for you. But that's my thoughts on that. Take care.
Hey, Jason, I've been meaning to call you about the carrot and the stick and the use of experience points or meta currency as a incentive to drive behavior among your players. And I guess, I mean, I'm sure I'm guilty of it in the past. Creeping Death by Metallica will remind me in the background that I'm not innocent. But I try not to do it. I really try to be as objective as possible with XP, or XP as written in the book, you know, gold for XP. I mean, that of course is the carrot, and that's in the rules. That's what you do. You go, you kill monsters, you take their stuff, you get more XP for treasure. And I have some great stories where players have gone out of their way for treasure and not killed a monster to get to do so and gotten more XP. which I think is always a kind of a cool thing. So, so then with metacurrency, I feel like there are a few games. I don't do that in Warhammer. I do give general role-playing XP, but that's part of it. If it's like a day where the player characters come up with some fantastic or, you know, adventure-cutting shortcut, right? Like they found out the plot really fast and they don't have to go to every single person to find the clues and they come to a rapid conclusion. It's built in the system. You give them XP for that really good role-playing and fact-finding. There's also XP for sure in the adventures, XP for milestones that you hit within the context of the investigation and in the game. And I definitely don't give extra fortune points or fate points or whatever meta currency is the currency for the Warhammer fantasy game that I'm playing, whether it's adult version, adolescent version, kids version, or European version. By European version, I mean the one that's like a board game. The other thing, you know, definitely don't in like the momentum doom thing for 2d20. There is, interestingly, in Octoon Cthulhu, there is a, like, who did the best in the game, but it's voted on by the players, and it rotates around, but like, who did the best, or the coolest bit of action, who found the coolest clue, who all made us laugh, I don't know. It's kind of weird and vague, and the players definitely try to rotate that around, but it's not a GM-driven thing. I don't know, that could be a kind of a carrot to modify behavior, but I don't know. I try not to do it. And I see kind of like that in, and what the problem I see is I've seen it at conventions before. Like, they say, for example, carrot stick bennies, someone at the table makes someone laugh, then the rest of the players try to make jokes the whole time. And the jokes sometimes don't work, or they're not... I don't like out-of-context jokes at the table, except for common references to the favorite movies like Aliens, Conan, Die Hard, etc., Back to the Future, whatever. But I don't like out-of-context that take you out of the game funnies. Now, if it's a great joke in the context of a game, well, that's awesome. Great job, player. You made us laugh. But I'm not going to give you an extra hero point or a Benny. We get hero points in my Pathfinder game on the half hour. We start at 7:30, we get one at 8:30, we get one at 9:30, we extend to 10:30, we get another one. So that's the way it goes. I try to remove those carrot stick approaches and let's make it within the rules or the confines of the game. Or if we do, you know, increase Bennies or increase hero points, it's like it's a time thing, right? It's on the hour, on the half hour when we're playing. I kind of think this is probably way longer than I anticipated, so apologies, but that's my opinion on carrot and stick, and take that Cerebrabore out of its ice block and maybe discuss this as a panel. All right, talk to you later.
Carl, thank you for those thoughts. Again, they'll all be addressed in the follow-up episode, and we are, thanks to Carl's suggestion, going to unfreeze Cerebrivore. I don't know exactly who the panel participants are going to be yet. I've reached out to a few people. Pretty sure Carl will be one of them. And we will discuss this carrot and stick idea further. But I have one last call, and that is from MW, the World's MW Lewis podcast. And it's a 16-minute call. It's just slightly shorter than the episode it's responding to. Because of the length of that call, I am going to give my comments on the call prior to the call and let that call finish the show out. So before I give those, I want to thank all these callers. I really appreciate it. And I wanted to get your thoughts out on the air prior to this panel discussion because I didn't want to sit on the calls for too long. Again, back to full health. Thank you, everybody, for your well wishes. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my callers. If you have thoughts on these or other things, please call them in. All the ways to reach me are in the show notes. I want to thank TJ for the wonderful music, Ray Otis for the coffee cup clip art, even though we have the picture of Jim Ward, you know, up there today in commemoration of this man. And Yeah. So that's all I have for that. And let me give you a couple thoughts on MW's response before I play it and close out the show. As with the other calls, the direct comments on the carrot and stick idea we'll talk about in the panel discussion. But MW asks about me on his Monday Night Discord, Monday Night D&D Discord. Honestly, in a Discord calling that I did a while back, I left that Discord just because, I mean, it was kind of like I was a voyeur watching you guys, and it seemed weird. So I actually am not on that Discord at the moment. But so I didn't see that, and that didn't prompt this discussion. But I'm glad that you're interacting with them and doing these things to find a way forward. I appreciate the approach you describe in this call. And that's something, again, we can talk about in the panel discussion. It seems to, I know maybe because I like to try to play rules as written personally, I think maybe I've given the impression to you that I'm a hardcore, that's how people should play, and that's not my opinion. That's just how I like to play. But I've said it on this show, and I've said it on many shows, that as long as you and your group are having fun, you're playing the right way, and there's nothing wrong with house rules, there's nothing wrong with doing things your own way, and at no point is it my intention to force everyone to play games the same way. So I hope I haven't given that impression to you or to anybody else that listens to the show. And with that, I'm just going to turn it over to MW and let him play the show out. So take it away.
Hey, Jason, this is MW Lewis here calling in on your latest topic on experience points and how, you know, some game masters might award experience points for different things. And, you know, I agree and disagree with your points. You know, I know going all the way back to when I was just still a kid playing D&D, or, you know, a young teenager, or whatever 12-year-old is, preteen, I guess. We always did give out some points for certain non-by-the-book reasons. You know, I'm not looking at the book right now. I know the rules are pretty clear in AD&D. I'm not thinking about the basic too much, but the basic, I think, is almost the exact same, that the experience points are awarded based on monsters killed and treasure or collected, or the gold piece value of treasure collected and safely returned to a safe location. That's clear. And I don't think the rules say anything about giving out experience points for any other reason. But going back to even when we were preteens, it was not uncommon for the older boys in our group who were teaching us how to play the game to give experience points for really cool role-playing or feats or whatever. Now, never for things like bringing the pizza or something like that. But I mean, anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. But so, in my experience, it's kind of always been part of the game, at least in my experience. Not when I go to like the conventions or something like that, or when I do one shots with some DMs. I'm never, and honestly, in those scenarios, I don't really kind of care. I kind of shrug off the XP awards then, because you're playing a game kind of one time. I'm not the kind of person who just brings characters around. Like, for me, a character is tied to the game. So I'm going to sit at a table with a bunch of guys at a convention. I have a character for that game. When that game's over, at least me personally, I'm done with that character. I'm not going to play that character again. But I know there's other people who like to progress their characters through continual gameplay in a one-shot/convention style. But for me, I think the rules of the game and the way the Dungeon Master runs a game is so integral to a player that I can't separate the player from the game. So for me, it's just kind of like, or the character, I mean. So once I'm done with a one-shot, now if I'm playing with the same Dungeon Master over and over and we might be doing multiple one-shots, that's different. But anyway, I'm wandering into the weeds here. For me, in my experience, in very few instances have I ever played the game without some rewarding of other kinds of behaviors. Now, I was really kind of, and I've been doing it. So since I restarted playing in 2016 and really started my adult game in 2020. So from 2016 to 2020, I was kind of playing with kids who were 5e, experimenting from 5e with 1e. There wasn't a lot of XP awards going on in that 4 year period because we didn't play a lot. You know, we were playing only three or four times a year. But and that's why I started my game in 20. Actually, I started a game in 2019 with some adults, and that game kind of fell through with because we were meeting in person, and I was giving out a lot of experience points. So I would say starting in 2019, I was starting to really get back to the way we used to do it, and I was giving out little rewards for certain things, especially at the lower levels. I might give, if a thief was particularly active, there's not a lot, there's just not a lot for a thief to do, right, quite frankly. And you want to, I do hate to say it, it sounds to me like you don't like this idea of rewarding certain behaviors. But I think if the thief can get out of the mindset of that they're really just like a fighter light, even lighter than the cleric, and actually be more like a thief, I like to give a couple extra experience points for that, because you're trying to teach a player who might be new to the game, as was the case, to do these things and think about these things. It gets very complicated, like what my thinking is. Now I will say I would never give experience points for someone bringing me food for the game or something like that. But I don't mind giving experience points even for them doing a session description. I don't know why that's... You really kind of reacted badly to that one. I know other DMs who do that too. They'll just... they're like, hey, if you'll write the session description and post it onto the Discord or whatever, the shared area wherever the game is taking place... I don't know why that's a big deal. I don't know. I don't know what you're hearing from other people or EOTB. I don't give a lot. Like, I'm giving 10. I just recently told my Monday night group, I'm no longer going to publish my session updates on our Discord server, that I'm only going to read them on the podcast from now on, because I'm really getting close to catching up on the podcast. And I said, if somebody else wants to publish their session description, I would give, like, if it's useful, I said, if it's a useful description, now maybe that's bad. Maybe this is your point, Jason. Maybe you're saying we shouldn't be setting it up in, like, sort of a competitive way. I didn't mean that to be competitive, because I'm only going to give 10 experience points for it, in other words. So, most of the characters now are at second level. Twice a month, if you get 20 experience points, that's the most you can get. We only play twice a month. So it's not a lot of experience points, right? So it's not, I would even argue, it's not enough experience points to even incentivize most players to do it. So one guy did it, and it was fairly useful. Now, what do I mean by useful? I mean a session description that really covers the activity of the session and not like just one thing or whatever. I don't even know what I mean by useful. I just said useful. So, but anyway, other DMs' mileage may vary and they might do it differently. And you know what I also realized? We have my Monday night group, a certain contingent of them in particular, maybe half of them, really like the role play. And we'll have these sessions where we might just role play almost the whole session. We might just do gambling. We might have meetings with the leader of the town, and we just really role play it all out. And I enjoy it too. We all enjoy the role playing. And I normally don't give out role play experience points, but here we are. We're almost a year into the game, and we're all just reaching level 2. So the players all just went through leveling up, starting in December through January. And I realize that we're only meeting twice a month. Whenever we have a session where we might even dedicate 3 of the 4 hours to just role playing. That is setting the players back on leveling. And, the way this game's designed, we have a level targeted dungeon we're going through, and they've already cleared out the level one. So I realized that once, so then I have to start creating side adventures until they all get up to level two, because, you know, here we are a year later, almost a year into the game, and they really weren't even ready to go down to level two yet, because we and I look back, and of our sessions, there were, you know, maybe 10% of the sessions. Now we've run about 20 some sessions, so we're talking two sessions. We're just role play, almost role play only, where there's no experience points gained. Now there's been some other sessions where there's no experience points gained because they didn't defeat the monsters and they didn't get any treasure. And that's okay. That's normal. So I thought to myself, you know, just to help, you know, hey, Jason, you know, we're all getting old, right? I'd like us to get through this adventure I've designed, which is a multi-level adventure. So I want the characters to advance. I don't want them to not advance, because if they don't advance, we're just never going to get to the second level or the third level or the fourth. I got a fourth level already in the works. And we're all getting old. You know, hey, I could be dead next year. So let's be honest. I'm starting to give out XP now for the role-playing sessions. And that's going to be more substantial. That's going to be like 100 XP. I'm going to give like 100 XP. If we do a three-hour session of just role-playing, and the players want to do it now, keep in mind, half my players really enjoy that stuff. I'm just going to give a flat 100 XP. So in other words, so it's not wasting time. This has nothing to do with being a nice GM or DM or wanting to think of new ways or change the rules. I'm just being practical. I just want the players to advance. I mean, from now on, unless they go out and try and fail to get something, every session should be productive, and 100 XP is not a lot. Let's face it. If you go out and have an encounter and gain treasure, you're getting a lot more than 100 XP. But I'm not going to give that XP in a session where they go off to the and they're actually playing the game itself. The actual game itself is going out, having encounters, and trying to get your treasure. There's a lot more on the line there. The reward is really great. They could get a lot of XP if they win that. And if they don't win it, I'm not giving like bonus points. You get 100 XP just for the session. So I'm not doing it that way. Other DMs might, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, when we make the decision, hey, let's do some world building tonight. You guys want to go to the tavern? You want to talk? See who's in the tavern? You want to gamble, so we're going to run. We actually gamble, so we might do a dice game like craps, or we might do cards. And I'll just say, for now on, 100 XP. So that's it. That's all. It's just, you know, for me, that's always been part of the game. It hasn't been a big deal. But I hear your point, you know. But I wouldn't give experience points to have the people tell jokes and stuff like that. I'm not giving experience points to judge or who's the best role player, but other DMs might. So it's okay. You know, I think it's been part of the game for a lot of groups for a long time. So I think that's a good topic, though. I'm glad you brought it up. When I was listening to it, it made me wonder, because I know you're, I think you are invited and part of my Monday Night AD&D Discord server, and I just recently made announcements that I would be giving the XP for doing offline role-playing, and for whoever does the session descriptions from now on. It made me wonder if your topic was in direct response to that, in combination with other things you're hearing. So I'm curious to know, was my recent decisions announced publicly on my Discord server that I would be giving some XP out now for role-playing sessions? And the offline, I forgot to mention, I'm now giving the XP for the offline role-playing too. And by the way, I've been giving extra experience points on this game the whole time, because I have a spreadsheet where I calculate all the monster treasure XP, and then I divide it by the number of PCs in the session, and if there's an NPC that's worthy of a full share, they're included. But I have each of the player characters, I have a column, two columns, where in the one column I have their name, and in the other column I have been giving... and they don't know this all the time, but I have been giving some extra rewards of XP for certain gaming elements. that I felt like were worthy of the award. Because like I said, this has always been part and parcel to the game and my experience with it. That's what I keep going back to. See, everybody has different experiences with the game of Dungeons and Dragons. It's hard to nail people down and force everyone to play this game the same way, because the game actually is not designed for that. That's the real thing here. We're not playing a video game where everything's programmed in, and the only thing that can really vary is your choice of path that you take or your choice of weapon you're going to use. We're playing an imagination game with rules that encourage, at least in the earlier editions, encourage the dungeon masters to be the master of his game and kind of do it the way he wants. And, you know, the arguments are best when we're talking about what is actually by the book and what's not by the book, because you can pull the book out and look at that. The arguments aren't as good when you're talking about, are people right or wrong for not doing it by the book? Because that's not the right approach to viewing Dungeons & Dragons. If someone wants to totally do things not by the book and be that chaotic dungeon master, there's nothing wrong with that, actually. It may not be for you, or it may not be for me or someone else, but there's certainly a lot of other people who are very creative and like to vary things. I mean, there's people who like to play a different role-playing game every week or multiple or different games during the week. And I'm not even like that. I just like to play D&D. You know, I understand people vary the rules and people do things differently. You know, I've learned I don't think you do this either. When you're playing with a DM, you just respect the way they run the game. You don't, you know, if you don't like it, the appropriate way of handling it is just to stop playing politely. Like, politely tell that dungeon master, presumably as a friend, just say, you know, I don't have time to play anymore. This isn't really for me. You don't have to, like, give a 15-point dungeon master review and say, here are all the things you do to vary from the rules, and I don't like it. If a dungeon master's giving out 1,000 experience points because somebody brought the pizza, that's their style, all right? That's just the way they're doing it. I wouldn't presume that the group of friends he's playing with are offended by that. If they're actually doing it, sounds like that's how they do things. So anyway, good topic though. Really enjoyed it.
And remember, folks, if you sent a call into Jason and you haven't heard it on this episode, have no fear. It will appear.
Joke about your spouse, but the operator's screaming it's coming from inside the house. What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? Well, the audience is pretty sure he took a pretty head, and the only question left is if I fiddle shoot him dead. Bring on the gore, bring on the gore. Butcher is a dustman and your moil is by the tipper, and I'm assuming that your partner back there in the wood chipper. Don't look away, don't look away, don't look away, don't look away. Well, the zombies are arising and the world has gone to heck. We're living for the dying and we're dying for the train wreck.